Welcome to the Orange Kid Podcast, where we tackle the big ideas of kids' ministry and find practical solutions to our week-to-week challenges. I am so excited. My name is Gina McClain, and here we are for another episode of the Orange Kid Podcast. And I've got my friends here with me, Kellen Moore.
Hi, Gina. I think you should always intro. You're really good.
Thank you very much when I get the name right. How about you, Mike? Yeah, Mike is with us.
Are you saying I'm not a good intro guy when I host?
I think you're okay.
I think you're okay.
Just kidding. No, you're great.
In true Nine fashion, he said it indirectly. Yes.
I did. I didn't look him in the eyes.
He did look at you at all.
Gina, I'm happy to see you today.
I'm excited to see you today.
You're okay.
Oh, well, if we sound a little tired, maybe a little bit giddy, it's because we are a little bit exhausted.
So tired right now.
And pretty much fueled on caffeine alone. We are still at the Orange Conference 2019, where we get to hang out with 8,000 of our closest Kidman friends.
Oh, boy.
I know. I guess they're not all Kidman friends.
They're not all Kidman friends.
Some are student ministry friends.
Yes. Student ministry, yeah.
Lead pastors.
Senior leaders, all those.
Senior leaders, that's a way better saying it.
I know. Thank
senior
you.
Senior leaders.
How many steps do you think you've taken so far at Orange Conference? I feel like
I have no clue. I can tell you this. I take 4 steps to every one of Kellen's.
That is true.
That's true. So I don't take as many steps.
No.
And we have these. I love how we all have these fancy watches on and not one of us watches ours.
Mine's dead.
Oh.
Mine reflects my energy level right now. It is out of battery.
I need to recharge.
That's awesome. Recharge.
We might get just a different version of Gina on this podcast today.
I love it.
That's good. Well, we are excited to share this time together with Lisa Melitti. Lisa is here with us from Community Christian Church in White Marsh, Maryland.
Yeah.
And we're going to dig into a great conversation that a lot of kids ministry leaders are going to have a lot of interest in. We're going to talk about kidmen environments. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
We are excited to get into this conversation. I keep saying we're excited.
I'm excited.
How excited are we, Mike?
I'm excited.
Yeah, this is exciting.
I'm mellow, but this is me really excited. You should see me when I'm down.
This is good stuff.
This is a conversation that I think a lot of kids ministry leaders are going to be interested in, because environments are important.
Mm-hmm. Environments matter. I dictate where I shop based upon the vibe and the feel and the sound and the smell of what that store is. And so I like to go to those stores that put intentionality into environments. And I think that totally translates into kidmen as well.
Agreed.
It's true. So Lisa is somewhat of an expert in kids ministry environments. She has a proven record in creating environments that really do engage kids well. And so we get the opportunity to hear more about that. In fact, Lisa, you taught a breakout session at Orange this year that unpacked 5 things, right? I think you said 5 big tips.
The big five.
So why don't we just start there? What are the big 5 tips for how to design great kidmen environments?
Okay. Well, I love what you said, Mike, because I think the whole idea of creating an environment has so much more than to do with just the space itself and what it looks like, although I do feel that's so important. But you're really creating an experience. Mm-hmm. And so when people come into your environment, hopefully it's beyond just what it looks like, although that is my passion, I will say. I love what the decor part of it and the stage and all of that. But at the end of the day, it's the experience you're hopefully creating through all of that. I try to talk about it this way, that you're trying to create a physical space that really gives an opportunity for relationships to thrive and for great things to happen. Yeah. So in that, there are these 5 things that I try to always just keep in mind as we do that. And I would say the first one is probably to make it unique. Mm-hmm. The second one would be to make it relevant. Mm-hmm. The third would be to make it appealing. The fourth would be to make it fun. And then the fifth would be to make it safe.
I love
they're
it.
Good.
I love what you really said. Yeah. I love what you said before. I mean, the big 5 were those are big. Let me just say, okay, those are awesome. But what you said before that, as far as creating an environment where relationships can thrive.
Yeah.
When you said that, it just made it me. And I don't drink coffee, but I thought of Starbucks.
100%.
For whatever reason, whenever I go there and work, I just feel more social, and I feel like, you know, and I don't go there to be social. I go there to get work done, to get away from people. But there's just a vibe there and an atmosphere there that you just see people engaging in conversation. And I don't know what it is.
Well, fun fact, Starbucks, they have a 3 place mission where they want your first place to go is home for coffee, for environment. Second place, workplace.
Yep.
And the third place, they want to be Starbucks. So they intentionally make it community-centered over coffee-centered. So that's probably the reason why, and I think the church should actually be that third place, and we want those kids to go home, love their home, We want them to go to school, have a good time at school, but we want them to come to church and not just have fun with the leaders and the curriculum, but they want they need the whole experience as well. So
Right. I think we can totally take our cues from a lot of corporations like Starbucks or Chick-fil-A. I mean, how nice is it that you hear "my pleasure," you know, and there's that customer service aspect of things. And so just great service and being able to provide an awesome experience for people.
That's awesome.
It's so interesting because I think that for somebody who loves aesthetics, it would be really easy to gravitate to environments and put a lot of energy and time and resources into environments and still miss what you said. Still, you know, they could create amazing, appealing environments, but they don't necessarily accomplish what you described, which is community and connection, right?
Yeah, and I've probably learned that the hard way because I would say, honestly, at the beginning of my career in all of this, I did focus on that part of it. I was a volunteer, and that was sort of what I was charged with, so I did it with all my heart, and I loved it, but I could get really hyper-focused on what it looked like and forget that it's not the end, it's a means to an end.
Right.
So, you know, that's where I try to live now.
I would love, if we can, I'd love to dig into that just a little bit. Because if, so you said unique, relevant, safe, appealing, fun. So what example would you give of when you created something that maybe fit that criteria but still missed the mark because it didn't create a space for community?
Well, I think sometimes it may not necessarily have been that I experienced that it didn't create community for the kids. I don't know that I would say that I saw that go all the way out, but it happened for my team. You know, we're burning out because we're spending so much time and energy on creating this stage and making it look perfect, and I'm there late and I'm fixing things and I'm doing, and instead of just being able to say, you know what, this looks good and what's the end goal here, it's to set up leaders well and give them something and to create a space that's appealing, and children walk by in our church, they walk by and look, they can peer in and see it. So you know, that change, that regular change every month with the new theme, it's intriguing. And so I have to remember sometimes that, you know, I don't need to burn out the team that's working on this because we need to get it to be so beautiful.
Oh, that's really good. So it keeps you from maybe going further than you really need to, and therefore wasting resources because, you know, human resources, volunteers.
Yeah.
That's a valuable commodity that we want to make sure we take care of. So that makes sense.
So one of the big five you mentioned, it's one that I know is so imperative, especially in Kidmin, but it's not one you intuitively think about when you think about cool environments and unique environments and relative environments, and it's the safe thing. Making an environment safe, but it's so vital and it's so important, and there's a way to do that in a way that doesn't take away, like, you know, because you can think, like, build a safe environment, there's baby gates everywhere, and there's, like, cameras everywhere, and there's, like, you know, like, it's just like, don't, but anyways,
we
but talk
overboard?
To us about creating a safe environment and what that looks like.
Well, I think that safety can take two different directions. The first one would be physical safety, which you're talking about, you know, in the nursery with the baby gates and fire exits, and all of that should be posted, evacuation plans. I believe every children's ministry worker should be background checked, all of those things that are in place to make sure that you are keeping children safe and your leaders safe are important. We actually had a situation recently in our church where there was someone in the main service that collapsed, and it sounded like someone was in the building and we were being compromised. I'll say it that way. And you know, and people panicked, and it caused us as a staff to think, okay, what's going to happen when, if that ever happened, what is our plan? And so I just think it's really good to, from the physical safety portion of things, to think about what do you need to do, and think about that and plan for it before it happens. But a second piece of that, which I think is equally as important, is the emotional safety. Having groups and leaders that have been trained to know that they are there to help kids feel like they belong and they believe in them, and they're safe and they can be vulnerable and share. And so I think a lot of that has to do with, as I said, training your leaders to know that, but also how you group children. We group by grade so they can meet with kids and that are in their same phase of life. And then maybe by gender, you know, boys and girls as they get older, with a male leader over the boys and a female leader over the girls. And just to create that safety in being able to talk openly and share and connect with one another, connect with the leader, and ultimately connect with Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's excellent. Those are good guidelines to remember. What about unique? I mean, that was your first one. Why mm-hmm. why do you say unique? And what does that look like? What do you mean by that?
Well, interestingly, I know when we think unique, you think, oh, I need to do it differently and better maybe than anyone else. I need to have the Disney-looking, you know, environment in my church for people to come. And I actually don't mean it that way at all. What I would say is that each environment needs to be as tailored as possible to the children that are in that space and their age group. Mm. So, for example, our preschool director does a great job of this, where she kind of moves children from a small little area with a TV, and they sing a song, and that's about it in there, and they play, and then they age up a little bit and they get a song, and maybe they get a bottom line too, and they get a sticker when they say the bottom line, and then they get to a stage, but it's a small stage. There's no light rig, there's no mics, it's very comfortable, but they get Ollie and the whole, you know, large group experience, but on a smaller scale. So when they come to our elementary environment where there is media now, there's light rigs and there's, you know, screens and video and lots of tech, they're a little bit more prepared because they know, oh, this is happening in front of the stage. So now we've got a unique space for elementary kids where we've incorporated a little bit more media and opportunity for that. And our preteen ministry, we actually just launched a preteen ministry in February of this past year. And we went completely a different way with it. We made it no light rig, no big media production, but some TVs and, you know, chairs, very comfortable seating. We have snacks. That's been a huge win. But it's yes, we have games and a little bit more open time. They have the opportunity to kind of have this space be their own. And we've just seen that work because each age group has their environment that's unique and designed specifically for them. And that was an interesting thing, too, as we planned for our preteen environment, because we didn't want to step on the toes of what was coming for middle school. You know,
that's smart.
We have a foosball table and we have some fun games, but we don't have Nine Square in the Air and Gaga Pit and all that, because that's for students. So just being respectful of that, prepping them, getting them ready for the next stage, but not necessarily stepping on the toes of that.
I think it builds anticipation as well. If they have younger siblings or older siblings and they go to the environments to maybe pick them up with parents, it's like, what is that? I can't wait for that. And it builds
anticipation of
throughout
what's
the year.
Coming up.
Think it's a preparation also. I think you mentioned that, Lisa, just the idea that prepares what they're experiencing now prepares them for what they will experience next.
Right.
So
that
preschool environment will prepare them for elementary. Preteen can feel a little different because now it sounds... Is it correct? The stage goes away. Couple screens behind them.
Right.
But not all the lighting and all the media and everything.
Right. And I'm not saying that's not necessary. We just, our space didn't allow for that. We were in a smaller room. I think that could be great if you can do it. But for us, it's actually worked. They have these smaller intimate settings, and there's what we're really seeing is the connection with the small group leader is being ramped up in that environment.
And I think that prepares them for the next phase in middle school, where we want them to really value that that small group experience.
That's awesome.
That's good. I wouldn't have thought of that for a unique. That was not how I would have interpreted that. So
I
really
thought about, like, I think that's great. And then when I think about uniqueness, too, on the design side of things, I love it when we visit churches all around the country and churches contextualize an environment unique to their location, and their community, and do like what you have on the East Coast or on the West Coast or in your small town, and you reflect that in your design to do that. I just think it's an extra special touch that makes it unique to, this is what we do, this is our church, this is our community to do that. So I just think when you have the opportunity to look for ways to do that.
It's great. Like Mariners Church in Irvine, California, their kids area is, I think they're like the little Mariners, whatever, and you go in and it's literally a ship theme. It's, and all the classrooms are, you know, designed to it. And I think you can do that. And I think churches that do that, hopefully you do it well, so it's not like overly 90s cheesy, but like just enough for the kids to be intrigued. But I agree, utilize whatever community you're in and speak to the students in that area. So I love that the preteens enjoy a simplified room, because when you were describing it, it seemed more like a hangout to me. Where it's like, it's their cool den that they get to go to and be with their friends, opposed to the bigger, you know, lights and whatnot. I like it.
It's awesome.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. You said number two is relevant. What do you mean by relevant?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I take my cues from Dan Scott's Caught in Between, and he talks all the time about if it looks like 2019 outside, it needs to look like 2019 inside.
That's such a
great
point.
I just love that. I think it's so true. And But I think it's, again, you know, there's a bigger issue behind that statement, which is kids need to know that we understand what's happening in their world, yes, and we want to help them navigate it.
Yeah.
So what can we do to make it relevant? What things can we have in that space that show them, hey, we're in touch, we know what you're going through? So walk-in music, I think, is a big deal, you know, and honestly, I'm not just saying this, but Orange and you know, the music that you guys provide for us on the Spotify playlist has been so great, because it really sounds a lot like what they might hear on the radio.
Right.
And you know, our church is a church that we're hoping to attract people who are not a part of any church. Mm-hmm. So as we do that, we want them to hear things that might be kind of, you know, hey, this sounds like what I hear in my car.
Yeah. Yep.
But yet it's safe, and we can trust that it's going to have great lyrics. And so walk-in music is huge. I think one of the things we did, it's just a silly example, in our preteen environment, we created we have an iPad, and it's got a picture on it that looks like that Instagram poll thing that kids are doing now, you know. And every week we have a little question, and they can vote donuts or bagels, and they, but
oh, that's so smart.
What a great idea.
Always donuts.
Oh, yeah.
It's always,
well, yes,
right, always donuts. Yes. It's always been donuts. That is true. But I use a lot of would you rather questions and things like that, and haven't gotten the technology yet for them to actually answer directly. So we have these canisters, these glass containers, and they put orange ping pong balls to vote and that kind of thing, or they draw it out. And that's a great opener too for the host to be able to use that information, and they get their snack there. And so it's just a fun little thing, but it feels like, hey, that's like an Instagram poll. And again, it connects them to this world. And I just think when we can be relevant and show them we understand what they're dealing with, we're developing trust, and kids feel like this is a place I can understand and want to be a part of.
That's so good. But what is your source, though? I mean, where do you find this information?
You mean the questions and things like
that? Just the relevance.
Just the fact that you would think of doing Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like I'm 44 years old, and I'm like, okay, so where would I go to understand what preteens are going through, or elementary? Like, I want to incorporate this in, but what are some of your sources of inspiration?
That is a great question, and I do feel really old. I have two daughters that are graduating from college, and I ask them a lot of questions. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, let's go with that.
Let's go with that.
But I agree.
Yeah, and I ask them a lot of questions. My one daughter that's graduating from college next week, she leads in Young Life, so she's got a lot of high schoolers, and I ask them, and I actually ask the kids, and I really talk to leaders, small group leaders, a lot about, especially like around Christmas time, ask what the gift is. What's everybody want for Christmas? That'll tell you a lot.
Good.
You know, things like that. What are you getting for your birthday? What are you asking? What are you hoping for? What are you doing for your birthday? What kind of party? You know, and so that type of thing, just talking to them. I've done a lot of that with even, we have these prize carts, or what we call the big box of awesome, in our preteen environment, where they get to go to that big box of awesome or prize cart to get a prize if they've brought a friend, or if they're new, or if it's their birthday. And so what's on that prize cart? Well, squishies, I've heard, are just the hot thing.
That's the thing
now. I hate how they feel, but it feels weird to me. But yes, these
for
kids
real.
Love them.
That and slime and fidget spinners.
We got some squishies here.
We even got one.
I am holding a squishy in my hand.
Huh?
It is a little weird.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, you kind of get addicted. At first, I wasn't a fan, but then they're fun.
It is.
You know, I could see that. I'm feeling very.
I wish you guys could see this. This is amazing.
I know. It's fun.
But I love what you're saying is, because obviously I'm a youth pastor as well, so I work with Next Gen, so I work with, you know, younger kids and also older kids, but utilizing high schoolers, not just for them to be junior leaders, like, oh, can you watch the kids, this small group, but like, hey, I want your input.
Absolutely.
Like, you are important for this next generation. I think that, and it gives them, I think it elevates their feeling of being important in the room.
Uh-huh.
So they're not just feeling like a babysitter
whatever, they're valued.
But it's like, they're valued. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, we are big on student leaders in our church, and I have a ton of student leaders on my team, and I just love that. I get to talk to them, and the kids, they're so much cooler than I am.
Yes.
So when they're up leading worship, or, you know, even just what they wear, and you kind of get an idea of what's in, and so that's sort of where I look.
And I love your answer to that question, because usually when you ask people, like, hey, what's your source for inspiration, for relevance? And, you know, it's like, Disney.
And Pinterest.
Or Nickelodeon. Or Pinterest. But it's like, no, I ask my kids.
Yeah.
I ask them, what are you into? And not just asking the elementary kids or preteen, but asking the middle school and the high school so you can see trends that are coming.
Mm. Exactly. Because, with little kids, the cool part is they like what the high schoolers like a little bit longer than the high schoolers like it because they're now understanding dabs are cool.
Right.
But you won't necessarily do that for a high schooler.
It's funny, my son was into Fortnite, and then he moved on to another game. He's like, yeah, Dad, Fortnite's out. I'm like, what do you mean it's out? Like, nobody's playing it anymore. I'm like, plenty of people are playing it. He's like, yeah, but at school, nobody. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's crazy.
It goes quickly.
Trends go quick. They come and go.
I really do.
Super excited when the Fortnite trend leaves my home. That would be amazing if we can speed that along.
Just to piggyback on that, the whole dab thing, we incorporated that into a few of our dance. We were trying to get those fifth grade boys to engage in worship. Yeah. So we incorporated some dance moves that we thought were a little bit more relevant. And that was great at first. It was so much fun. Everybody was engaged. Within a few months, they actually stood in the back and wouldn't do it. And some, we're not doing this anymore, Miss Lisa. It's over. This is over.
Yeah.
And so just watching and seeing that was another indicator to me. Okay, well, what is
we're
next?
Not relevant anymore.
You know, is it appropriate?
And it's so fast.
Can we do it?
And is it
That's
appropriate?
The question you have to ask.
Is a big
is it appropriate?
One.
What's the background of it? What song did it feature in? Just so you know.
Exactly.
Parents are like,
Did you know?
Right. It's very
true. I'm gonna bring the dab back. Right. Saying that right now. So.
I knew it to have high schoolers roll their eyes. I think that's the funniest thing, but that's just me.
All right. So let's dig into appealing. That was one of the other things that you said, right? Mm-hmm. So we've covered we want to have unique environments. We want to have relevant environments, safe. That's super important. But you also said appealing. Tell us what does that mean?
Well, this is where I would probably go into what I would say is my jam, which is set design and decor aspects of it. I think personally, when an environment is appealing, it's intriguing. Kids are looking and wanting to come in. There's something going on in there that is attractive to their eye, and they want to be a part of it. So to me, a focal wall or a set that speaks to that and has bright colors and possibly cool lighting just isn't attractive, and it's appealing. I also would say, even beyond the physical, again, creation of things, you could also think through wow factors and moments where kids come in and they have so much fun in church. I'm a big believer that, you know, if kids think church is boring and it's not fun, they might associate that with our God, and I'm just not willing to let that be a possibility.
Wow.
So, you know, I want them to see our God is creative and he cares for them and he's, you know, big and wonderful. So if we can do that with even just and having fun together and relationships and so games that we do and wow factor moments. We had one just to give you an example. We had this VW bus that we had a volunteer had created for us, and it was this huge bus that stood on our stage. And even though I share space, we did take that down every week. It was really hard. It was very
God
heavy.
God bless you.
But it was fun. It was worth it. But anyhow, there was something in our curriculum called for us putting a bunch of kids into a refrigerator box, and they were supposed to get into this refrigerator box and then get out. So I was like,
and then
well,
seal
I got
it
a
and
VW, yeah, right.
Seal it,
it was safe. There was an opening. Right. There was a door, but and they didn't get shut in. But anyhow, we were supposed to put them in this refrigerator box, and I thought, well, I've got this VW bus they can get into on stage. So we piled them all in there, and it just out of the blue, we started having them come out, and the kids themselves started counting how many children we had actually gotten into this VW bus.
How fun.
It just became this cool moment that was really fun for them. I think it was very memorable.
Yeah.
So I think memorable things and wow factor moments that sometimes are just, like I said, intriguing and, I'm sorry, unpredictable, you know,
right.
that you didn't even realize were going to happen. So
oh, that's good.
I think, too, being predictably unpredictable is a big deal. So children like structure, and they like to know what's coming maybe. So the idea that we do large group here and we do it at this time is great, but how can you be a little unpredictable sometimes? Maybe you're changing that game up, or you're doing something, you know, really unique and different that week. So
I like that.
That's so good.
So you said, though, I want to back up to focal wall. You mentioned having a focal wall. What when I'm standing in a room, an environment where kids are going to come in, how do I choose the best focal wall? Are there any guidelines you would throw out there to help somebody with that?
Yeah, we use insulation foam boards, which is my favorite tool that we use, and we have five of them across our back wall. We actually have a tracking system that's been attached to the wall because we share space, and it's attached at the top top and the bottom, and we slide these pieces of insulation foam into the tracking system. And then they are there, and we can slide them back out and hide them somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's actually three deep, so there's three grooves, I guess I would say, in the tracking system. Mm-hmm. We paint that back wall whatever color we want it to be that week. I usually match it to the graphics because we our screens are also part of our focal wall. And so we try to keep that continuity. And then you can use foam core, that foam board, and carve it. You can use a jigsaw or a hot knife and carve it out, carve shapes and put it on top. I use these things called T-pins. They're a little longer than a straight pin, and they can go in and out, so you can take things on and off. So the to me, insulation foam board, it's cheap. It's lightweight if you have to move it around. We love that. But I think you could also use pipe and drape. You could use plywood if you could create a frame for a few pieces of plywood. It doesn't have to be five wide. Just something that when they walk in the room, it's, wow, that's cool looking. And also, you know, it's where your teaching can happen, and you can build off of it.
I love the focal wall thing, because some Kidmin leaders, when you inherit a space, you're like, oh, I want to redesign this whole room.
Right.
And it's just like, well, you don't have the budget to do the whole room like you want to Disney-fy it or whatever, but it's just like, hey, let's draw the eye to a certain space, and that's where we want, you know, we want the room to be clean and this and that, whatever.
Right,
but
exactly.
It's like, hey, look here. But it's, I would think this is especially true, Kellen, with your church. Like, you guys are meeting in a portable, or you meet in a school, or you meet in a movie theater, and sometimes you're like, I don't want you to see all this stuff around. Like, everybody, look over here, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So it's like you're drawing your eye to say, follow over here to do that.
And that's one thing, like, for portable churches, if you're out there, one thing that we do is pipe and drape is your friend. If you can do anything to, like, we have to set up our classroom, which by removing all the desks in the classroom and putting them against the wall, well, we pipe and drape them. And what you can do to be creative, since we can't put stuff permanently on the walls because teachers, you know, it's a teacher's classroom, getting anything that you can hang, design, cut from this pipe and drape, where it kind of gives that wall effect without having it to be a huge overhaul and, you know, people waking up really early to set up this three different classrooms. But little simple touches that you were saying will work wonders.
Yeah. And I think also projection screens, that could be your entire focal wall. We've had to do that. I met in a basement. We were portable at a portable church for a bit. We had a rear projection screen, and I threw a few things in front of it, and that was our focal wall and our teaching space. So it can, there's a lot of different options, I feel like, but we just use the insulation foam because it's so easy and versatile.
That's great.
Those are amazing ideas. So all of this, bringing it all full circle, we've got five tips, right, that are going to help us to create great environments for the kids within our ministry. So I think I would love to move, I mean, you've already provided some pretty practical tips, but if we can go just a little bit deeper into that for, like, action steps for what can a ministry leader do this week, you know, to help them to create better environments. If you were to give a ministry leader just a couple of tips, say, here's some action steps you can take, what would that look like?
Well, I would think first about, do you have space for fun in your environment? Do you have a game in your large group time? Do you have something that lets kids laugh and have fun together with their small group leader and with one another? So that would be one aspect. And I know that doesn't sound like environment, but the idea of creating that experience, like we talked about at the front end, is just so important. So I feel like, are they going to have fun? Because what happens in the space, it can look beautiful, but if what happens in the space isn't fun or appealing, if we're coloring, you know, pictures of Noah all morning, and that's all you get to do, and you kind of listen to something, that's not going to be really intriguing.
And the reverse is true, though, on that, too. You could be in a blah room, but have an engaging activity and a game, and kids would be like, I'm not paying attention to the ugliness around me. I'm having so much fun, and I'm engaged with
that's
that.
Really
so vice versa.
I agree.
So I would say definitely games and some element of fun within there. And then I do really, I'm a big believer in the focal wall because of all the reasons we spoke about. So if you don't have a space that has any decor to it, or and you're looking to start that, that's where I would start. And it could be 2 8x4 pieces that you attach together with Velcro, you know, and stand up against another wall or against pipe and drape.
And you provide a lot of these tips, right, on a website that you've created. Isn't that correct? Tell us about your website.
My website is readysetsunday.com because obviously I love set design. So there's a lot of things on there. There's a whole element. I know people push back on set design because it's overwhelming and it's the last thing they can do sometimes.
Right.
You know, there's so many other things we need to do as elementary leaders. And so that tends to get pushed to the side. And so I wrote a whole series on how to develop a team to help you with that. You would be surprised who comes out of the woodwork for that. It's not just people who are crafty and artistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, admins are important for that and people that can shop. You know, and like to go get your resources and things.
Some of my favorite leaders.
Exactly. So, you know, I write mostly about set design and I post photos of our sets every month, but I also try to do a little bit of helpful things that I've really just learned in my own journey that I get to blog about and talk about on there.
So if a ministry leader wanted to take some action this week and try to figure out how do I even push this forward, we could go visit your site and find some really practical tools on how to do that.
I think so.
I'll be there tomorrow.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I pulled it up before we even started.
Right,
because
I'm
excited to
see about that.
And I've bookmarked it and I'm going to check it out.
I mean, if somebody else can give me tips and tricks and ideas on how to create better environments for a mic, especially when it comes to stage sets, that's just not my lane, you know? So if I can write off somebody else's, then Lisa, you are my new best friend. So.
Oh, thank you.
I love these big five because as you're talking through all this stuff, it's questions to ask, it's staying to think through. And I know there's going to be resources involved, but it's not like you can do these big five for $1,000 a piece, you know,
right.
kind of a deal.
Yeah.
But it's just like going back home and just saying, okay, you know, let's do a quick scan of our environment safety-wise. How's our safety protocol? Are we providing a space where everybody feels welcome to do that? And then just like appealing, like when you are, and the best, you know, one of the things we've said time and time again when it comes to environments, like one of the best things you could do for your environment is to get a fresh set of eyes on your environment just to be able to tell you like, hey, here's what we see. Like, and this is somebody, you know, maybe in your church who's not really involved in your kids' ministry, or if you really want to be brave, it's finding a family or a kid, don't go up to a random kid. Hey, kid, you want to come to church? but it's like going to a family and say, hey, let me give you a gift card to Dairy Queen. Here's $10. If you guys would just stop by, I'd love to walk you through. And what do you like? What don't you like? And this and that. And just getting some fresh eyes could do wonders, you know, to help you.
I love
that out. So.
Love that.
Well, this has been some great stuff to think on, Lisa. Thanks so much for sharing this stuff. And the big five things, again, unique, relevant, safe, appealing, and fun. And for some more ideas, we're going to post in the show notes a link to ReadySetSunday.com. But also, Lisa, we'd love to post some of those pictures on the site so people can check those out, but also go to your site and check out. Like, I would be there in an instant click to talk about teams. Like, to do, like, I like this idea, but like executing stage stuff, it's like, I need some help, you know, like now. So that's going to be awesome. So, anyways, ReadySetSunday.com. Make sure you check that out. We'll put a link in the show notes to do that. And thanks again, Lisa, for joining us.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's
Kellen,
been fun.
Gina, you guys.
It's good stuff.
Let's keep going. Orange Conference, we're almost done, right?
We're in the final stretch.
Final stretch. We can do this. So, and thank you guys for hanging out with us and listening to the Orange Kid Podcast. And as always, if you like what you've heard and you want to hear more, make sure you leave us a like, a review, however you listen to us, either on Google Play or Spotify or iTunes Podcasts. Give us a review. It really does help us spread the word about the Orange Kids Podcast. So, and for more information about Orange Kids Podcast and other free resources, make sure you check out orangekidmen.com as well. All right. Thanks again for hanging out with us. And Kellen, it is time to take us out with a little diddly. Hit it.
My space, your space. Let's together make a great space. The Orange Men. Got to do that again because that's not what it's called.
Whoops. That's good. That's a cut.